Shalom Aleichem, everyone. This is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to The Soul of Israel on the Land of Israel Network, on thelandofisrael.com. What a privilege. Another week we have together. To the extent that God allows us to just open our hearts and immerse ourselves in the weekly Torah portion. I'm joined together once again with one of the most precious people that I know, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz. Good morning, my dear friend.
Good morning.
How are you?
It's an honor to be here with you. I got to be here early for your minyan. You're like the Rav here in the shul, and you taught B'nai Machshava Tova. How would you define that?
We're broadcasting out of our shul here in Efrat. B'nai Machshava Tova is a book written by the Piasetzner
Rebbe. Conscious Community, I think, is how they translate it.
That's how they do it. Conscious Community. It's a book about a select group of people that have chosen to gather, not to exclude others, but simply to take life to the next level or the real level and work on perfecting a word that is very big today, mindfulness.
And that's what you've built here, really.
It pulls me so much.
I was looking at these people. That's true wealth to be able to learn with you every morning and dive in here. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your words very much. And I was so happy when you walked in this morning. Yeah, we have a great chevra. We have a tremendous group of people that they want more. They just want more. They want to be awake. Anyway, I want to be awake too. I want to be really awake without the need of caffeine. I want to be truly awake in this, you know, this whole book of Bereshit that we're bidding farewell to, the first book of the Torah we're bidding farewell to, every single parsha is filled with stories, stories that truly wake us up. I don't know about you, Ari, I can't believe how fast Sefer Bereshit took place this year.
Yes.
You too?
It was so fast, and I always have this feeling of like, I'm just not,
absolutely
taking full advantage of it. It's just the stories are so rich and the Torahs are so deep. It's my favorite. I mean, how can you?
It's way too fast. This year, I don't know what happened. It came on way too fast, and I was wondering, was it because I was traveling a lot? I don't know what it was, but I felt like, oh man, I could have spent like 4 weeks on Parshat Vayigash, you know? I could have spent 5 weeks on Vayeshev, but we have, you know, whatever. This is the plan. This is the way it was ordained, and this is how we treat it. We have every single week. We have the weekly Torah portion, like we mentioned, this Shabbos, this coming Sabbath. We bid farewell to the first of the five books, and it's almost what I would call a transition Shabbos, because we're transitioning out of the book of creation into the book of redemption. Because the first book of the Torah, Bereshit, is the creation of the world and the Jewish nation. It's the forming of a Jewish nation, creating it. But we know already from next week, the first pasuk in next Shabbos is Ve'ele Shmot Bnei Yisrael Habayim Yitzrayim. These are the names of the Jews that are going into exile. And it's all preparation for redemption. So we're right on the curve here of going from creation to redemption. And there's a lot to discuss and a lot to talk about. But I want to just explain to all our listeners where we're currently sitting right now in order to connect us to the Parsha. Right now we're sitting, our synagogue is located in the town of Efrat. Efrat is mentioned in the Torah a number of times. It's mentioned this Shabbos as well, which we'll get to. And it's located right in between Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, and Hebron, where our matriarchs and patriarchs are buried. The town, the city where King David ruled his first 7 years as king, we're there in Hebron. And our Jewish roots are in Hebron. And the Jewish history, and I would say future as well, is in Yerushalayim. As well, sadly enough, 2 mornings ago was the fast of the 10th of Tevet, where we began to mourn. We were mourning the beginning of the siege over Yerushalayim. I just want to share with our listeners how this will all connect. I myself was giving not a concert, but more of a meditative singing experience for about 700 seminary girls in Heichal Shlomo, actually in the same hall where you used to have Tuesday Night Live. Yeah, I had some good memories of the show that we did there together. Very special one. How many years ago is that now? Like 8, 9?
Yeah, 7, 8 years, yeah.
That's before I was married. Yeah, like 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm driving back from Yerushalayim towards my house in Efrat, and I make a right onto a street called Derech Hebron. And as I'm driving down Derech Hebron, heading home during the fast, after really singing with 700 seminary girls, I see a rush of ambulances and Cops and Zaka. These are the how do you say Zaka?
It's an organization, Arya Meshi Zahav, that takes care of
emergencies.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when there's horrible attacks here, they're the first on the scenes. I saw just a swarm of them, and they were coming faster than I could count. And lo and behold, we were unfortunately aware right then and there that a horrific, horrific, horrific attack took place in Yerushalayim, trampling my brothers and sisters, your brothers and sisters, ages 18 to 20, 21, in the streets of Yerushalayim, in a place that I often, and I'm sure you do too, we often go to for reflective meditation, because that site is one of the most clearest aerial views of the center of the world, of the Beis HaMikdash.
Many say that's where Avraham was with Yitzhak when he said, Vayar et hamakom merachok.
Ah, very nice.
So that's where he stood when he saw the Temple Mount, where the Akedah was going to be.
Then this is happening 10, 12 minutes from where we're standing, right where we're sitting right now. And I can't help but feel that the closer you are to where things actually took place, the more your soul truly is drawn to internalizing the depths and appreciating, having more awareness as to where you're sitting right now. So therefore, in the merit of those precious, righteous soldiers who were trampled on and gave their lives, and those, and for the refuah shlema, for the healing of the wounded, and please God, for the healing of the demented way of thinking here, still in this country, in terms of what needs to be done. I'm sorry, I'm just saying like this. Just,
of course,
just the way it is. It's just the way it is. That's how I feel. I want to go deep into one important thing in our parsha. You know, a father usually talks to his son nicely, but the mitzvah of kavod, of honor, is a mitzvah that's on the son or a daughter to give to their parents. There's a mitzvah. One of the Ten Commandments is kibud horim, honoring your parents. As much as it's nice to honor your children, there's no real mitzvah in it. It'd be a nice thing. I mean, many kids would love if that would be the case. But we don't really find that in the Torah, specifically not in the Ten Commandments. But here in the beginning of our portion, Jacob's about to die. So he summons in his son Joseph. And he tells him, he has a very interesting request, where he asks him, please don't bury me in Egypt. But the way he asks him not to bury him in Egypt is very peculiar. He says the words, Imna matzati chen beinecha, behold, if I have found favor in your eyes. This is a father talking to his son. If I have found favor in your eyes, al na tikbereini b'mitzrayim, please don't bury me in Egypt. And everyone's wondering, why does a father need to tell his son, ask his son in this way, in this level?
It's almost begging sounding, like beseeching his son.
It's like a father telling his son, please, my son, if I've done good for you and if you like me, then can you please pass the salt? Meaning like the request itself is not ludicrous at all. That's normal. His father and his grandfather were buried in Hebron, back in Israel. But and that makes sense, but the manner through which the request takes place is very odd and peculiar. Is that how you talk to your son? Is that, I don't know, Ari, is that how your father would speak to you when he wanted something from you?
No, if only I would be on the level that I would speak to my father that way, but of course not, yeah.
I mean, did you grow up saying, your father saying to you, Ari, you know, please, if you could remember that I was nice to you and good for you and, you know, gave my whole life to you, would you please take out the trash?
Right.
No. What would he say?
Well, take out the trash.
Right.
Right.
Simple.
So it wasn't the simplest of requests, though. But okay.
Right. But again, we're focusing on the manner.
The manner. Right.
The way that it sounds. Okay. So just remind our viewers, our listeners, we're right now in between Yerushalayim and Hebron in a place called Ephrat. And Yaakov Avinu explains to Yosef why he's asking him like this. Before Yosef can even answer him, he says to him, I just want to let you know something. Va'ani bevo'i mipadan meta alai Rachel. Rashi explains to us, why did he have to ask Yosef in such a nice manner? Well, Yosef, according to Yaakov, Yosef might have been holding something very hard in his heart against Yaakov. That what? Remember when my mother died while we were on the way, and you just dropped her off there and buried her right there. Bederech Ephrata Beit Lechem, which is literally an 8-minute drive from where we're sitting right now. Remember that time, Abba, that you just dropped off my mother, Rachel, and buried her right there as she died during childbirth to Binyamin, my younger brother? Yeah, that was uncool. That was very uncool because you knew that you were destined to be buried in Hebron and in Marat HaMachpelah with your father and your grandfather and your mother and your grandmother. And your other wife, Leah, she's going to be buried there too. How in the world could you have just left my mother there on the road and buried her right there? And Yaakov knew that this was burning in Joseph's heart. Perhaps this might also be the reason that in all his 22 years as being, you know, viceroy in Egypt, that he never sent word to his father that he was alive.
I've never heard that as a possibility. I've never even heard this entire line of thinking. That's really powerful. Because she's really the only one out.
She's the only one.
Out of all the fathers and the mothers, the patriarchs, the matriarchs, she's the one that's not in Hebron.
She's the only one.
And here her son is being asked to, wow, okay.
And this is what Yaakov thinks. Maybe this is why he never came and told me that he's alive, or whatever the reasons are. But the way the Torah explains to us is that he's saying to him, please, you know, if I found favor in your eyes, you'll hear me out. Don't hold this grudge against me. Let me explain to you why she's buried there. So this week, we learned a beautiful, beautiful teaching by the Rebbe of Lubavitch, the last Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, Nishmaso Eden, Zchus Yagen Aleinu, his marriage be a protection for all of Am Yisrael. And the Rebbe explained that when Yaakov was telling Joseph, she died on me, she was the love of my life, and she mamish died on me in the middle of it there, it's not that I didn't know what to do. But that location where she was buried at was destined, but that was ordained by God. That was the word of God. Bury her there. Why dafka? Why necessarily right there did she have to be buried? So the Midrash explains to us, because eventually when Jews were sent out into galut, into exile, the way that they'd travel out to exile would be that they'd have to pass by Kever Rachel. They'd have to pass by the grave where Rachel is buried, that area, and they'd hear Mama Rachel, which is what we call her, Mama Rachel, call out and scream out, please don't forget, this is home. And eventually, Veshavu Banim Ligvulam, children will come back to their, sons will come back to their Gvul, to where they belong, and it'll all be in the merit of that which they could have never forgotten, those cries that they heard coming out of Mama Rachel, as mamish, as they were leaving the Holy Land, going out into exile.
This is in Yirmiyahu, right?
This is in Yirmiyahu. Yeah. It says over there, Kol Barama Nishma.
It's not like a legend. This is,
this is Jeremiah. Kol Barama Nishma Nehi Bechit Hamrurim Rachel Mevakal Banea. One of the most frightening, painful things one could ever hear is a freakishly loud, exhilarating sound of a cry. Which is what? It's the crying of Rachel Mevaka al Banea. Rachel is crying over her children. Me'ana lehinachem al Banea ki einenu. She will not stop crying as long as she won't be consoled until her children are back home. And God says to her, and the Rebbe says, this is basically what Rachel is being told. Min'i kolech mibechi ve'enayich min dima. Don't worry. You don't have to cry too long. Why? Kiyesh sachar li peulatech. There is a reward for your action. What was your action? That you agreed to be buried there. Basically what Jacob was telling his son, saying your mother didn't just live a life of mesirut nefesh, she lived a death of mesirut nefesh as well. She gave totally of herself while she was alive, but even in the way that she died, she fully gave of herself and was willing, willfully, to not be buried at that perfect prime spot in Hebron, but rather agreed to be that center over there, right over there, so that whenever a Jew would leave, they'd hear the crying, or they would see the monument, and it would remind them, I have mommy waiting for me. And they'll come back home. Now, what's absolutely...
I've never understood that that's what the... I thought it was all of her life was the pula. It's actually her death that it would be, yes. That... And hearing your mother cry, is there anything that affects you deeper?
No. We spoke about that during Tisha B'Av, that one of the most painful things in the world is when you hear your father cry. And we, you know, at the risk of sounding old school, we kind of visualize God more as a father than we do as a mother. It's just the way it is. Maybe we should think of it more as a mother. But when you hear when you see your mother cry over you, that hits hard. Now, what's absolutely mind-blowing is that we're discussing something that we're reading from the Torah portion this Shabbos, which took place about 4,000 years ago, where? 8 minutes from where we're sitting right now. Further, the words that is used in Jeremiah to console Rachel are Vishavu banim ligvulam. Children will come back to their territory, to where they belong. So there's a minhag, there's a tradition here in Efrat, and it's probably actually all over this area. I don't know because I haven't been around that much, but there's a tradition here that whenever someone comes and makes aliyah, and they get an aliyah to the Torah, the first time they go up to get an aliyah,
it's everywhere.
Yeah?
Vishavu banim.
What do they sing?
That's what they sing. Vishavu banim ligvulam.
It's an unbelievable thing. They sing the words that Rachel was consoled with. When we come back to Eretz Yisrael, you and I moving back to the Holy Land is basically giving Jacob strength in his request to Joseph, explaining to him why he shouldn't be angry at him. You understand? You see how deep that is?
Wow.
When you and I come home and we're singing Vishavu Banim Ligulam, the words that Rachel was consoled with will probably be the only thing that consoles Joseph as well as a worried son, thinking that his mother just got dropped off in the middle of nowhere, buried. But somehow, you and I, our great, whatever it is, grandfather and grandmother, were schlepped out in chains from Israel, tortured. But they must have seen or heard something as they were leaving, which stayed within them no matter what, up until the point that you and I chose at a certain age, Mama's right, she's still calling. I gotta come back.
Would you mind just singing that, just not the whole thing, just to, you know, for all the Yidden out there, all our Jewish brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
That may be on the fence, should I, shouldn't I?
Absolutely. But I'm sorry, I'm going to sing the whole prophecy.
Oh, please. Of course.
Kol Eved Rama Berama Nishma Rachel mevaka, Rachel mevaka, mevaka al baneha. If you have good ears, if your heart is open, you can still hear Mama Rachel crying, waiting for you to come home. Veshavu banim, veshavu banim, veshavu banim, veshavu banim, veshavu banim ligvulam. Veshavu banim, veshavu banim, veshavu banim, veshavu banim, veshavu banim ligvulam. Veshavu vanim, sing with me wherever you are. Veshavu vanim, oy veshavu vanim, veshavu vanim, veshavu vanim ligvulam. Veshavu vanim, veshavu banim, veshavu banim, veshavu banim, veshavu banim ligvulam. And we see that right after Joseph explains, I guess this explanation from his father, like, that, end of story. There's no need to explain anything more, because he's tuned in to his mother's mesirut nefesh, giving of herself, even in her death. And afterwards, Yaakov, he doesn't have to come up with more excuses why he should allow him to, why he should agree to bury him there. It was case closed. It was done. That was it. So the Babat Rebbe says that as much as Rachel died a little while ago, she's still the star. She's still the star of every Jewish home. She's the star of Nefesh B'Nefesh. She's the star of anyone who has enough guts to listen to their kishkas and hear Mama Rachel crying. And when you hear that cry, despite any legitimate justification as to why you shouldn't come home, all that melts away. And you're brought back home. And this is how we finish the first book of the creation and preparing us for the revelation of redemption. Because that's being redeemed. That's allowing yourself to be pulled out of exile, listening to your mother's crying. That's the transition from creation into redemption. So, my dear brother Ari, I give you a bracha. I give you a blessing, and bless me back right away. That we should have enough guts to listen to our kishkas is one. And that being here never gets old. Ever. Not for one second. Being conscious of the fact that where we're sitting right now, most probably, either Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, King David, Ruth, Orpah, Naomi, or Boaz, one of them most definitely walked literally beneath this the concrete that we have right now and the pebbles that were here. They walked here. One of them for sure did, if not all, because it all happened here. And it's not a dream anymore. It's a reality that can take place. That we should have enough guts to remember how privileged we are every single second. And please God, all the reunifications and mending of sorts that need to take place between parents and children should be taking place. That just like Joseph opened his heart to hear his father, so too those of us that have issues with our parents should have enough of an open heart to hear our parents when they want to do good to us later in life and explain certain things that might have been messed up while we were children. Something that I know many, many people deal with at a certain point in life, that somehow life was fine, then they themselves become a parent or whatever happens, and they start freaking out about the way they were raised, and they realize I'm holding on to so much baggage. Our parents can see it all. Give them a chance too, no matter how old they are. In Jacob's situation, it was right before he died. Let's not wait till those situations. Let's take an approach of opening our heart to hearing our parents right now. And that, to me, that's redemption. That's Geula. And I bless us to live those days. Please God, together with all of the nation of Am Yisrael, here in the Holy Land. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I bless you back. And I have to tell you, all of the Avot and the Imahot, our patriarchs, the ones that walked here, that all connects me to this land. But what the real connection is, not only for me, but for all the Jews around here, is that Rav Shlomo Katz is here, that the great Rabbanim of Yerushalayim, that the holy Jews of Israel are in the land, our family now. We're here right now. This is where it is, and we're waiting. So I bless you back. You should continue to be such a source of light and connection for me and for all the Jews around the world.
Amen, my dear brother. If you'd like to contact me, I'd love to hear from you. I love hearing from you every week. I really do. It means a lot, and it gives me a lot of strength and fills my batteries. Shlomo@thelandofisrael.com. If you want to reach Rabbi Abramowitz, Ari@thelandofisrael.com. And please God, I'll be back next week with a lot more love.
Shalom, shalom. The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4-bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center with the most beautiful, breathtaking views. And I mean breathtaking. I've stayed there a number of times myself, and I'm telling you, there are few places anywhere in the city where you can take it all in to this degree. The view, the location, the great apartments, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
Hello, my name is Tommy Waller. I'm the founder and president of HaYovel. More than 12 years ago, I made my first trip to the land of Israel. What I saw and heard changed my life forever. I stood with Nir Levi, an Orthodox Jewish man, in his vineyard in Samaria on the Mountain of Blessing. There, he opened his Bible and read the prophecy of Jeremiah that said, "You shall yet plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria." We have the opportunity to join Israel as it celebrates the 50th year of the liberation of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Come join us as we witness the unveiling of prophecy in the Jubilee year. Come be a part of the biblical narrative. Go to HaYovel.com, that's HaYovel.com, to find out more. And I hope to see you there.